Hello and welcome to episode 88 of The Empire Strikes Back, a UK-based New York Yankees podcast. My name's Rob and I'm going to be hosting tonight. It's great to be back. With me tonight, we have our GB baseball representative, Chris Ward, who is in a car park somewhere doing something completely fine, but probably just waiting for a kid or something, but dipping in and out. So, Chris, can you hear us? There we go.
Yeah, I got you. I can hear you. I'm doing the... I'm doing the dad taxi thing, watching my son play football from a car park is what I'm doing. And I'm here for a little while. And wanted to join this just to chime in on what's going on in Yankee land.
Just a brief detour. I have a family member and he's got a stepfather who went to watch his kid play football in a school match and thought he'd sit in his car with binoculars watching and didn't think anybody would report him to the police. So I just thought I just
I'm happy someone cleared out, because when you said he sat in a car park waiting for children, I thought that's pushing the line a little bit.
Wow. It started early this podcast.
And so you would have heard a man we haven't heard for a little while, Mr. UK Yankees baseball Twitter, what other podcasts and general social media, Yankees giant, the UK's version of John Boy, just much less successful. Jack, how are you, mate? You're right.
Not bad. Yes, it's been a little while since I've been on. Sort of life gets in the way and things like that. So yeah, ready for the start of a new season and hopefully a bit more regular podcasts from us this year. I think that's we can all say that.
That's going to be a goal for literally no one, but let's do it anyway. And last, but by no means least, we got David with us, mate. How are you, fella?
Very well, Rob. Yourself? All very excited. I've got my four bases arrived today, so I'm all happy and excited for the new season.
I've never ordered one, I must admit. I've never ordered one. I should do. That's mainly because I'm a monumental shit or something like that, probably. Spring training is coming to an end. It is. Oh, I'll get one. I don't spend enough money on baseball. I'm never in any trouble about that whatsoever. Spring training is coming to an end. It is upon us. So this is our last show before the season begins, and then we're going to just try and drop in as much as we possibly can throughout the season. And as in Yankees land, we would expect there's been some high points, there's been some low points, and of course, there's been some injuries. So just to start with, how much of it have you watched, guys?
Zero.
Zero?
No. Two innings.
I've watched a little bit more than that, but to be fair, most of my time was taken up watching the World Baseball Classic. I watched a little bit. A couple of games at the beginning before the World Baseball Classic started, and I've watched a few games since. Again, not as much.
Yeah. And we will get around to more on the World Baseball Classic, which I don't think we can mention enough in this podcast. It was absolutely fantastic. I've watched some of it. There's a game just finishing up now, and I must admit, this is the first year, guys. This is the first year I've kind of gone, can't really be bothered. I'll be honest with you, but I've watched six or seven games. I normally watch a lot more than that. But here we go. What we do know is that, as is typical with Yankees land, that we've been able. We signed a great stud, a great player. You know, we signed a new pitcher at the end of last season, and we're like, well, that was okay. You know, hopefully he'll come back and give us a bit of a go. But then we signed this absolute stud. We've got the best opening 1-2 in baseball, in my opinion. What could possibly go wrong? And so now, obviously, Carlos Rodon is on the IL. He threw some bullpen today. What sort of impact do you think this is going to have, guys?
It's going to be a big one, isn't it? Surely. There's no other way of putting it, as you say, best 1-2 in baseball. You could say Scherzer and Verlander maybe in the Mets, but I personally agree with you there, Rob. Best 1-2 in baseball. And just happens that the Yankees injury curse hits again. You throw in Luis Severino as well. So this rotation that we had at the start of spring, that we were going Cole, Rodon, Severino, Cortez, and one other, I think it was. I remember who it was. Mm-hmm. Is now looking a lot more shaky as we get to opening day in a couple of days' time. So it's typical Yankees, isn't it, really? We can't seem to keep our best players healthy. And it's just happened at the start of the season. I was worried. I was thinking Tommy John. That's what I was thinking straight away. Doesn't turn out there. So that's the case. So he will be back, I think, in May sometime, they're saying. So, yeah, it's going to have a big effect, I think.
Last podcast, it obviously didn't age very well when we all said, came off saying the pitching was no issue. Everything was fine and dandy. I think, you know, season after season, the one area that I don't think we pay enough attention to is the strength and conditioning team. Because I don't know how many times people just are going to keep falling over injured when it can't just be bad luck. There's got to be a better way for it. You know, I think, you know, last season we got off to a storming start. I don't think we'll be doing that this year, and it could get things, you know, April could be a little bit rocky as a result.
I agree. I reckon April might be a difficult month, but I don't think it's any different from most seasons. Like, sometimes we start hot, sometimes we don't. This time we're going to get Carlos Rodon back in what? You said May. Like, when he hits a stumbling block in his recovery and it ends up being June, we're not going to be surprised. So it's till June. But we've had the next man up, like, every time. And I don't see that, whilst we don't have the best 1-2 punch, we didn't in the first place. I'm sorry. I know they're old, but Scherzer and Verlander are going to be the best 1-2 punch in baseball. That we still have a pretty solid rotation, bearing in mind Nestor Cortes is I think number five in that rotation. He's not a number five guy, but that's the way it's going to pan out in the first few games of the season, I think. But yeah, so I think it is what it is, and we just got to get on with it and try and let the bats do the talking and get some big offense up there, which we haven't done for a little while. So it would be good to see us going back to the ways of old in Yankee land, as we've said, sort of referred to it a number of times now. Like, let's hit some dingers and have done with it.
I was really impressed actually with Rodon's comments that he was just like, I'm not here to pitch in April, I'm here to pitch in September, October. And I think that's probably right, because with the extended playoffs now, I have to say, watching last night's game, Schmidt looked awesome. He looked really, really good. And so I agree. I mean, I think if there was a time for this to happen, the problem you got with the Yankees is that, you know, you're going to get other injuries later on in the year. But if this is going to happen, this is the time you kind of want it to go, I guess, and then get the guy settled in and hope things balance out. I feel sorry for Montas. He's the one, you know, with Sevi, there's just going to be this. He's just going to be one of those players that hopefully they don't rush him back. I have to say, I thought Cortes looked absolutely superb when I watched him the other night. This is the same Cortes of last season. The pitch clock seems to suit him really, really well. Actually, he seemed to be enjoying himself in St. Louis. That was absolutely fantastic to watch. I do feel sorry for Montas. You kind of know that the fans will get on his back if it doesn't improve. But actually, for him to take that kind of hit, and he arrived injured. This is the kind of thing the Yankees have really got to start to assess a lot better for what we gave up for him. But let's just see how that breaks down. We've also lost Scott Efros, of course, with Tommy John, which would have been a shame because, you know, I think he had an awful lot of potential for us. And Tommy is out for a considerable period of time. So we'll wait and see what happens there. But absolutely right. I mean, you've got what you've got, haven't you? I mean, at the end of the day, if you look at our roster construction at the moment, we've got an awful lot of infielders. We've got problems in our pitching, and we seem a little bit light in the outfielder situation. So I think as soon as Vader comes back, that's going to give us some benefits. But we essentially have one position left in the outfield in people's thinking. And we have Florial is out of options this year. A young lad called Ortega, who has got a hell of a lefty bat that I think is going to play quite well in Yankee Stadium. And Willie Calhoun, which I must admit, I do like these spring training shockers, these roster invites, where you go, really? Willie? Willie Calhoun? Really? And yet there's a little bit of my mind that goes that Willie Calhoun's going to get the spot. If you had to pick one of those three, I don't know if you guys have seen Ortega. He looks great. He looks like he's got him probably a little bit early at the moment, in my opinion. Would you give Floreal a go?
I think you've said it there in your little build up there, was he's run out of options. So I think that says everything. That gives you your answer there. I think they're not just going to cut him and go, see you later. They're going to put him in there and use him. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. I don't think it's going to cut him. So I think he's the one that will probably get it. He's had a fair bit of MLB experience now. He's not the youngster that he was 3 or 4 years ago. Hasn't turned out to be the player everyone was hoping for. But he's still good. He's still good in the outfield. Can still run down a ball. His bat isn't nowhere near where it needs to be for Major League Baseball, but defensively, he's up there with some of our best. So I think it'll be Floreal, and I think the rest will go down to the minors and hopefully prove that they're ready sometime later in the season.
I agree with you, Jack, and I think that him being out of options means that there is only one option for him, and I think you're absolutely right. What I would say though is that with the number of options we've got in the outfield, what that does do is allow us time to bring Bader back, to assess how good Hicks is going to be, if he's going to have a bounce back season, and then make some decisions from there. And one of those decisions, if Hicks is performing at the level we expect, we want him to be, rather than what we expect him to be, and if Bader comes back and is as good as he was, then that just means that Floreal becomes quite a nice bit of trade bait later on in the season when you need something else, bearing in mind that equally our infield looks like it's going to be a conversation of a number of trades later on in the season too.
Yep, from my thing, no pun intended, safe pair of hands. He will look, he won't scare any pitchers in the lineup, but at least from a fielding perspective, he's there. It shows how we're, for all the amount of money that we've got tied up in the payroll, how thin we seem to be. Where, if you go below, after Judge, Bader, Stanton, then all of a sudden you're one injury, and then you're looking at, Hicks, Cabrera, Floreal, it drops down very quickly. And as Chris mentioned earlier, we're going to have injuries during the course of the season.
I tell you who we didn't mention in the pitching section earlier, and that was Johnny Brito, who pitched the other night. So he was the one of the games I watched, because it was on a decent time. I could sit in the evening and watch it, put my feet up, and my eyes nearly popped out of my head with how well he was pitching. So, I mean, he is also another option who can be moved up and down a little bit if we need to. So, yeah, I think going back to pitching very quickly, I think he's an option. And then, yeah, infield and outfield. You talk about that, David. I think we are what we are with the options that we've got, and we've got a lot of them. And actually, I think this is probably one of Brian Cashman's going to be one of his most challenging years, because he's got so much choice and so many issues to solve.
There's a little bit of me with the Floreal. I agree with you. I think it's the most common sense thing to do. But in the same way, I kind of anticipated, and you're going to love this segue, chaps. This is gold. The bringing Volpe up. There you go. Thank you very much. Round of applause. Thank you. Bringing Volpe up when they did, because actually they could have, they could have kept him down. They could have kept him down for his contract. And I'm starting to wonder, well, are they going to start to make these tough decisions? Are they going to do these things? And there's a little bit. I'm not 100% convinced, because they do like a bat. They do like a bat. And at some point, the guy's been through the system enough times. What is he worth trade-wise? Yeah, defensively. And he looked last night. I mean, he looks like a fair unit still. He still looks like a very, very strong guy. More like a rugby player at the moment. I mean, he's a proper, proper unit. But I'd be interested. I mean, I was listening to the broadcast last night, and they were really talking about Willie Calhoun making it through, potentially making it through instead of him. And that's when you start to hold your head in your hands. You're a little bit like, I can't, I don't know if I could go. Now, I'm prepared to be wrong, but we seem to do this with a lot of these players. But I'll be interested to see how that goes. So let's move on to the infield. And I agree with you on the Brito thing, by the way, Chris, completely. It's a shame that Wandy's pitched terribly this year. Volpe, are we happy? Is this the right decision? Is the hype going to mean that this could become a problem, or is he the new Jeter? Or is he somewhere in between? Let's start with Chris, if you don't mind, on that one, because people are going nuts about this guy, and I think he's looked absolutely sensational. But talk about dumping a load of pressure on some young shoulders there. But then again, we know with Jeter, I mean, I wasn't watching baseball at the time, but having watched numerous documentaries, he had the calmness and the professionalism to deal with it. What do you think we've got here, mate?
I think we had the scoop on this podcast years ago when we had, was it Ryan Bird, the single A coach from the Yankees?
It was.
Who said, watch out for this guy. He's coming and he's going to be there quickly. He warned us. And he was absolutely right, wasn't he? And, you know, in terms of decisions, I think it's a brilliant decision. I think it's a bold decision. And it's a decision that the Yankees don't make lightly. In terms of the pressure that's on him, it's phenomenal. Like, being compared to Jeter before you've even had a major league at bat is, you know, that's just crazy. Absolute craziness. And so, yeah, the pressure that's on him, if he can cope with it, fair play to him. But, yeah, the pressure that's on him is phenomenal. I don't think he'll have a problem. I can't wait to see it. I'm excited for the season he's going to have. And I hope the fans support him rather than get on his back if he struggles. So, let's see how it goes. But I think it's a great move and a bold move.
Dave?
Yeah, very similar. Really excited. It's the, you know, the high point of spring training has been seeing him. It's great to see that the shortstop actually was a, you know, an open competition. He's won it. He's there. He's worked his socks off to get there. You know, it'd probably be safe to say there's a number of trades that could have meant that we maybe got pitching last season to help, where it was like, we're not going to trade Volpe. Fair call. We've got him now. Let's support him all the way up. You know, Chris's last words were right. It's like, you don't want crowd getting on the back of him if he goes, you know, 0-20 in his first week. You need the support and bringing him through. And I think the excitement that surrounds him means that that will be there.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's anyone that would say to you he doesn't deserve to be in the open day roster. I think he's gone into spring and he's taken this job. I don't think the Yankees they said it was an open competition. They said everyone was there to fight for it. I don't think they ever thought that he would do enough to get it. So I think they were a little bit surprised, and it was almost like they had to. There was so much pressure from social media and fans and the way he was playing. If they'd said, no, you're going down to AAA, and they had every right to do that, I think they would have got so much backlash. And I personally think you see in that video of him being told, you catch a little glimpse of Brian Cashman's face. Yeah, and people say that he was unhappy. I wouldn't say he's unhappy, but I think it's not what he wanted. I think Boone's happy to have him. I think Cashman would like to manipulate the extra year after time. But to the New York Yankees, as Kev likes to say, which is the New York Yankees, they shouldn't be penny pinching. They shouldn't be worrying about 4 or 5 years down the line, are we going to pay him or not? If we have to get in that position like we did with Aaron Judge, he's deserved it. He's played well. Hopefully won us a few championships along the way. So he had to do it. I agree with Chris and David saying, don't pile the pressure on the young kid. He's still a young kid, but it kind of comes with it. Starting shortstop of the New York Yankees, there is an inherent pressure there, regardless whether you want to do it or not. It is what it is. So hopefully him and Aaron Judge seem pretty close. Aaron Judge has navigated New York and all its trips and falls perfectly, as we say. So hopefully he can guide him along the way and help him become the player we all hope he can be.
I think it's going to be jumping at Yankee Stadium because of him.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be jumping. I think he's going to give the fan base the lift. And I don't think the fans will get on his back. I don't think they will, because I think they've invested so much emotionally already trying to get him in there. I think they will give him that time. I think had it have, you know, gone to Cabrera or something, then we may have had a different, if they, you know, if they started
IKF. Oh, could you imagine if we started IKF shortstop? I mean, talk about bedlam. I don't even want to think about the possibility of starting with IKF shortstop.
They've got to sell seats in a cold time of year in New York. That's how you do it. I mean, I think actually in terms of, you know, if you talk about manipulating his contract, I think the amount of money they'll get selling seats and 77, if that's what it is, jerseys, will offset that tenfold. I can't even begin to imagine there being a problem there. I just really like the fact that everyone's just so on board with it. Now, I thoroughly enjoyed the Jeter documentary series, and I think this must be what this is like. This must be about this guy, and you really, really hope, you know, with Cabrera up there playing well, you know, you just don't want these young players to fall away, a la Sanchez. I mean, I don't know if he's playing in Japan or Korea now. I think that's probably
hasn't got a team.
You know, it's absolutely bizarre. Greg Bird, you know, but obviously this guy here is a very different level. And I don't know if any of you saw Dominguez at the start of spring training. He's going to be all right. But Jack, as you always say, they're only prospects until they're up there. But yeah, based on what I saw, he's going to be all right. And I'm going to be watching a lot of minor league baseball and actually just getting have a good look at what he's doing at the moment. I think that's absolutely fantastic. I'm really excited, and for that reason alone, I think it's going to be a cracking time.
What do you think about Peraza, Rob? What do you think about, well, what's going to happen to Peraza? Are they going to get him reps at second base in AAA, do you think?
I think they're going to give him reps at second, and I think Torres is going to get packaged up in a deal to move on, and they're going to find a way of bringing him through. My concern is, you know, the other option is third. Because I think if the fan base are really, really turning, I know we could put DJ there, but I think the fan base have made their mind up now about JD. And I think that's going to be an interesting one. So that is another option for them. I think they'll consider.
You're absolutely right, actually. And when you think about it, like the options we've got at third base are not long-term options, are they? That's a really good shout, actually.
I mean, that's where I'd like to see it go. Seeing IKF yesterday, he looks like the same IKF that we got throughout last year. You know, obviously there's a long way to go. But I think what you can't, you've got to say to this guy, there is a plan for you. We know where we want to go. We can't dishearten that sort of, you can't have that sort of talent there. He, you know, might be in the way people talk about generational talent like Volpe, but he's a hell of a player. And that's certainly what I'd like to see, because there was a couple of occasions last night where Donaldson threw the ball to first, and it was horrendous, actually. And one of the things was his arm was like a cannon last year. Now, obviously, this is spring training. We can read too much into it, but it feels like the wind of change is coming through the roster already. They can feel it while they're there. And I actually like that. I think momentum, when there's a desire and people can feel that something's going to happen, I think that benefits everybody in the long run, and I'm really, really hopeful. But the question is, how long are they going to keep him down there? I think they're going to keep him down there for a while and make sure he's ready. But that would be my preference and prediction. Anybody disagree with that?
I'm just shaking my head looking at that Donaldson trade. Thinking that from a Twins perspective, Gary's gone, Urshela has gone. So effectively, we've got IKF and Donaldson with sub, and the Twins have shipped $50 million worth of contract to us.
Yeah.
It's not.
Well, we've got Ben Horvat as well. Don't forget as well.
I forgot. Yeah.
Going back to us being Yankees again, I mean, we got similar players, you know, in terms of the output. We just got lumbered with a bigger bill. I think that's just what happens when you're the Yankees and the other team in the trade is the Twins. That's just going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And I think the Twins, I mean, you know, the Twins are going to struggle this year. And I think it's just a bit of a mess out there. But either way, I mean, like I say, I just think Yeah, we're building to something. We're building to something special. Now, the question is, what are we building to? So, come on, boys. What I want to know is how many games this year you think the Yankees are going to win. I really should, you know, jot this down, actually, just so we can all slag each other off royally at the end of the year. I don't believe our good friend Kevin has shared his thoughts on that. I've got his thoughts for the other prediction we've got. But how many wins for the season? Let's start with you, Jack.
95.
David?
90.
Really? Ooh. Chris?
One ton. 100. Dead on.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to go 98. I must admit, I'm going because I really want to see how they've worked out the schedule now. We're going to be playing a lot of weak team. I think the balance in the schedule, what I think, is going to be really interesting for us. So I'm not quite prepared to go to 100, but I'm not far off. Actually, I must admit, I'm not. No offense, David. I think you're 90. I think just because Kev's not here doesn't mean we need another miserable sod on the podcast. Okay. All right. It's just...
Brutal, but fair. Are you worried about the Blue Jays, David? Is that where you're?
Yeah, I'm still. I mean, even though we've got fewer divisional games, there's going to be a lot of cannibalizing between, if you like, the top five in the East. And I think without that, you know, yes, we had a dreadful couple of months in the middle of last season, but. You know, it was the start that got us towards the 99 wins. I don't think we're going to have that start this year.
I agree with you. I think they're a threat. I just, I'm just not negative. I can't be negative when it comes to the
end. Can't be at this stage.
Got to love it.
And I think, no. I think when you look at the win totals that teams are going to get because of the way the equal balance across the teams, I think there's room for all these teams to be brilliant and then for it to really come down with the extended wild card. These teams, I think the Blue Jays are going to be fantastic. I think the Rays are going to be the Rays. I don't think they're going to do what they've done. I think sometimes it feels like because they're in such a dog eat dog division, they just find that extra 5-10% whether they can carry that off. And I think the Red Sox are going to be dog shit. And I hope that's true. I don't think they're going to be quite that bad, actually. I think they're going to find the Red Sox being the Red Sox. I don't think the fan base will tolerate that. But either way, here's hoping. Okay, so the other thing I asked for was your predictions for the ALCS and then the World Series and then a winner. Okay, so shall we start with Mr. Rooney's?
Yeah,
Mr. Rooney has gone with Yankees, Astros, again, and then Mets, Braves, with a World Series of Houston versus Atlanta, without picking a winner. We'll get him to chip that one in next week, maybe. So Yankees, Houston, Mets, Braves, and then a World Series.
He makes me sick.
So go on, Chris. Well volunteered, mate. Who's your Where are you going?
I'll be honest, I haven't thought about it at all. I think I'd like to think that the championship series will include the Yankees. I think the other team it might include are the Mariners. I think they're a sneaky, sly one, and I think it'll be a Yankees Padres World Series.
And who do you reckon the Padres are going to beat to get there, then, mate?
The Mets.
Mets.
Yeah. Well, I reckon Mets will just bottle it a little bit later this year than they did last year.
Yeah.
And I think the Padres will eventually bottle it as well. I'm basically making these predictions with the hope that those teams, completely spiral and fail miserably, other than the Yankees, obviously.
That's the spirit. I think that's nice. I like that. Go on then, Jack. You're up, mate.
I would love to have anyone other than the Astros in the CS. I can't. So I would love to go with Chris and say someone like the Mariners or Toronto, just for something different, right? Obviously, I'm going to put the Yankees in there. I would love to say someone different. I just can't. Until I've written off the Astros a couple of years ago, thinking that they're past it and they're on the down, on the sort of dip. They proved to us they're not. So until they sort of prove to us that they're not where they are, I'm going to have to go with them again, unfortunately. Chris kind of stole my thunder for the Padres. I really like them. They've thrown enough money at it to hopefully get them somewhere, sort of throw enough money at it. Hopefully you'll get you somewhere. So I agree with that. I think it'll be a Braves Padres on the NL, and I think it'll be a Yankees Padres World Series. Why not?
And the winner?
Yankees.
David.
Despite my low prediction, I think we will end the season strong with everybody coming back to full health. So I still think it will be Yankees Astros in the ALCS. I think it will be the Mets and the Padres in the National League. And it will be Yankees coming out overall. And again, it's just going to be the ending the season hot this year, as opposed to last season when we started here.
So who are they facing from the NL then?
Padres.
God damn it. I think we've all got... Do you remember last year, right? Was it last year or the year before? Year before, we ripped Kev because he picked the Padres. Right.
It was a few years ago. It was about 2 years ago. He had the Angels get into the World Series. Do you remember
that? He had
the Angels. Jeez, the man had a few night, didn't he?
But yeah, I know the people can smell the homebrew off the podcast when he makes predictions like that. You know, that's fair enough. Yeah, I must admit, I've gone for Yankees and Jack, I'm with you 100%. God, I wish it wasn't this way. I really wish it wasn't this way. Abreu in the Astros is something you can't ignore, as far as I'm concerned. So it's going to be Yankees, Astros, and I too have gone for the Padres, and I've gone for the Braves. There, I like Chris. I think the Mets are going to Mets it up just a little bit later. I agree. I don't know what it's going to take for them to go over the top. Big shame about, you know, obviously the bullpen injury during the World Baseball Classic. That's bad for the game, and when you're celebrating a win. And then I have you. So Yankees, Padres, and I have the Yanks to do it because this is a Yankees podcast. But I think the Padres, where's this guy getting? You know, you've got to start to wonder about the size of the fan base in San Diego and the amount of money that he's pumping in there. It's absolutely crazy. But that's what we've got. And hopefully we'll get an update from Mark soon. Either way, we are going to have plenty to talk about this season. It's just whether we get together and actually talk about it, I guess, is the sticking point. But we have a fantastic performance from GB Baseball, which we're going to spend some more time looking into when Chris isn't buried away in a car park. We have a London series. We have another year of Brian Cashman. So by God, that's going to give us plenty to talk about, if not more years than one, isn't it, these days? We have a generational talent coming through. We have Aaron Boone being Aaron Boone. We have the looking forward to watching Donaldson and IKF as we go, oh my God, they're actually playing 95 games this year. How the hell did that happen? We have all these things that we're going to be going through, and it'd be really great if you guys could come along with us for the journey. It'd be great if some of you want to join us on this journey. And I'm already lining up. Hopefully Jack Curry is going to be joining us shortly, just so we can talk about the 98 Yankees and some of his work and some of his predictions. So we've got some good stuff coming up. And I really hope you can be part of that journey and join us as listeners. And please do spread the word about what we do here, because without you, it's just, you know, five sad blokes looking at a computer screen talking to each other, which obviously, when you're listening, it's still five sad blokes looking at a computer screen talking to each other about baseball, but just other people listening into it. And that's what makes it magical. Okay, we're going to say goodnight. So where can everyone find everyone? Chris, do you want to start off for me?
You can find me at Free Reign UK on Twitter. And most recently on Twitter, we talked about documentaries earlier. I want to mention the Reggie documentary.
Reggie.
just dropped on Amazon Prime or Prime Video, because it's not getting any traction over here, but it's available. Search Reggie in your Prime Video and you will get 2 hours of really quality Reggie documentary. That's me. Find me there and you'll definitely find the link to it.
I think that's going to be, I must admit, I've got it on my watch list for this weekend. So, I think I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, definitely. Dave, where can we find you, mate?
David J. Andrews 1 on Twitter. And, let's play ball.
Oh, nice. No, those are my last. No, that's not really. Jack, where are you at?
As everyone well knows by now, Rob likes to give me a big shout out at the start of the show at NY Yankees UK. Try and be a bit more active on there this year. I wasn't too active there last year. Hopefully we'll have a fun season, and only half of the bad things will happen to us this year that seem to get us talking on this pod.
But either way, you know, it's going to be a very long journey, deep, deep into autumn. And let the sun shine, guys. Let the sun shine. I'm Rob Rattray. You can find me at Rob Ratty, and hope to catch you all soon. Bye now.